Hello, this is news director Larissa Donovan, and speaking on the phone with me is candidate for city council, Don Hainanen. How's it going, Don?
It's going good. How are you, Larissa?
I'm doing just fine. So you're running for Ward 5 this time around, and I understand this is not your first campaign.
No, this is not my first campaign. I've gotten close, and I feel that I still have work that I would like to accomplish and still want to try and make a difference in this community.
So why don't we learn a little bit more about you, such as your background, how long you've been in Bemidji, and the various roles you've served in this community?
Well, I'm a 37-year resident of this community. I moved here to go and attend Northwest Technical College, where I graduated with a degree in automotive. I'm an ASE certified master automotive technician for the past 35 years, and I've worked in the industry in a couple of shops in town, and recently took a new position as a fleet manager, shop manager for a fiber optic company. I've been involved with the civic part of Bemidji for well over 34 years with the Bemidji JCs, the Gun Club, and a couple of other smaller things like the Eagles and the Elks I've been past members of. I started getting involved with city government about 15 years ago when I got onto the Parks and Trails Commission, and then I moved into the Charter Commission about 5 years ago, and then about two and a half, three years ago, I got involved with the Joint Planning Commission. So, I mean, I've kind of got the background of working with government and how government works, and I'm just wanting to take that leadership and those experiences that I've gained through my government and my civic involvement and put that to use and make informed decisions for this community and the taxpayers of this community.
So I'm sure you've already gone over this, but is there anything else in particular that made you want to run for Ward 5 this go around?
Well, you know, like I said, I've been involved with a lot of it, and my biggest thing is, you know, if you're going to complain about how government is, either you do something about it or you just take the way it comes at you. And I'm kind of one of those kind of people that I like to be able to get in there and actually be some of those decision-making things so that, one, we can keep an eye on what Big Brother is doing, you know, for instance, government. But we've got some really challenging issues in our community. And I think that as we move forward, I think we also got to make sure that we're always keeping the taxpayer in mind, because ultimately all government dollars are taxpayer dollars, and we all answer to everybody that pays taxes or even rents or anything in this community. So I mean, we've really got to make sure that we balance out the taxes and the needs of the community.
Well, that's a great segue into my next question. Half the city, as I'm sure you know, is non-taxable land and properties. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem?
Well, one, and maybe it comes down to maybe the city needs to look at a moratorium on non-taxable properties so that we don't turn more property in that's currently on the tax rules into non-taxable property. You know, I think that the only other option we've got is annexation, but with annexation comes its issues. So we have to make sure that we annex very smartly because, you know, we can annex a bunch of property, but if we can't provide them the services and the stuff that they need, the utilities, then we really aren't doing them justice. So it's a tough balance. But, I mean, as we move forward, I think that, you know, annexation is probably one of the few things that we can do. But, again, it's going to have to be done smartly and effectively so that everybody can benefit from it. And, like I said, the other part of it is maybe we just can't allow any more non-taxable property to be gobbled up in the city so that the burden doesn't land on those 50% of property tax owners that actually do pay property taxes in this community.
Well, do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for those costs of the Sanford Event Center?
You know, that's a tough question, and I find that when I talk to the business community that, you know, a sales tax is going to put a burden on everybody, and when you can go literally 10 miles out of town and you don't have that particular tax, I mean, it's a tough situation, but ultimately, I guess you got to weigh that out to the fact that, okay, do the taxpayers want to pay that, or do we want to try and collect that money from the people that visit our community based on that we are a regional center? And it's a very tough question, and I guess at this point, I don't know that I support a hospitality tax, but, you know, I think we need to look at some sort of sales tax just because of the amount of dollars that we're going to have to be putting out for infrastructure as far as the wastewater treatment plant that needs upgrades and of course, the PSAP issue that we have with our city wells. I mean, we're talking literally $30, $35, $40 million that's going to have to be bonded, and we're going to have to find that money somewhere. And I can tell you right now, I don't believe the taxpayers in this community are going to be able to afford it. So everybody talks about it being new money, but actually, you know, when you look at probably 80% of the people that shop in this community are from outside of the city limits, which means that then maybe we can recover some of those dollars that are lost by non-paying taxpayers in the community.
And I'll just jump ahead to that water system question I have. It needs an expensive fix, and without legislative bonding dollars or sales tax, that burden will likely fall to utility rate payers. I know that the city council meeting yesterday, there's talk, if all else fails, city bonding. But what are your thoughts on that project and possible funding solutions?
Well, you know, this has been an ongoing problem for the city, and I know I've been involved with what the city's been doing and sitting in the back listening to the solutions and whatnot. And I know the interim plant that they just passed a resolution last night to go ahead with is a short-term problem or solution to their problem. But I think from what I've heard from Bar Engineering and some of those others, you know, this facility that they have, this temporary one, could run 5 to 8 years. So, I mean, we could push this can down the road a little bit in order to maybe try and do something. But, I mean, even at a 14, 15% increase on utility dollars in the community just this next year, if there's no funding available from the state, I mean, it's going to put a burden on everybody. I mean, anybody that rents or owns a home or even a business in town is going to feel the pain of this. I believe that the city council should have been pushing for bonding dollars and or legal action against manufacturers of this 2-3 years ago when they first, you know, this isn't a news thing. The city's been testing the city wells for nearly 8 years for this. And the only reason now that it's become a huge problem is because Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and Minnesota Department of Health have started putting regulatory limits on it. And now that the city wells are beyond those regulatory limits by the state of Minnesota, that's when it becomes an issue. I mean, I think we should have been looking at bonding dollars 2-3 years ago and trying to fix the problem before it became a crisis.
And my next question is on the Business 197 corridor, the main drag there. MnDOT plans to work on that. I think it's 2024, is that right? Or is it 2026?
It's 2024, I think, is the correct date that they're looking.
Yeah, but anyway, a plan for multiple roundabouts, of course, was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety? I know there is some folks in the community that want it to remain as is. There's some that want the median in the middle. What are your thoughts on that project?
My thoughts on that project is I think that there's got to be other ways to do that. In talking to a lot of the business community in that corridor, it will hurt and definitely affect business along that corridor because there's a lot of mom and pop kind of shops through there that if you start limiting access to them, people are not going to go and visit those particular businesses. And I know with this latest pandemic, you know, we're going to potentially lose 20% of the business community already. And I don't know that as a city, we can afford to lose any businesses. So, I mean, I don't think that we're looking at, I would be looking at approving any kind of a major development in that road or that corridor at any time in the near future.
All right, my next question relates to some recent events in the city and state that have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
You know, it's a tough situation, and I think that you've got to keep open channels, and I think that you've got to be able to hear the people. I mean, that's the biggest thing is you've got to learn to hear the people. You've got to put some stuff in place that's going to give the people that ability so that they can come out and talk to you, and then you can work through issues rather than try to create bigger issues. You know, there's no real magic bullet that's going to solve all of this issue. You know, I'd love to say that we could all play in the same sandbox and get along, but, you know, being of a diverse culture that we are, I think that there's always going to be challenges as we move forward. And I think that the biggest thing is the government and or policing and others need to be transparent in what they do. And whether that means that we need to put in new regulations, I know the police department and the sheriff's department here recently went to body-worn cameras, which have helped a lot in solving some of the problems and some of the issues that we've been running across. So that, you know, I think that's one step in the right direction, but I think there's others that we could do. And maybe we need to come up with a commission that it's a public safety commission where people can sit down at the table and they can talk through issues.
And my final question relates to COVID-19, another big thing for 2020. While many businesses are beginning to reopen closer to normal capacity, what do you think the City Council's role should be in public health emergencies? And the Council took some actions on the COVID crisis. What did you like, and what would you have done differently?
You know, I think that, you know, the problem with the government is we tend to move slower than we need to. I think that we have to learn to mobilize quicker and try to help businesses where we can. Not necessarily we're always going to be able to help them, but I think that we should always be willing to sit down and talk through things and try to figure out what's best for both the government and the community and those businesses. Is there a magic bullet? No, nobody could predict that we were, well, I guess if you go back and read some of the books that some people have done 20 years ago, maybe this was predicted that we were going to have this pandemic, but nobody really predicts a pandemic or any kind of a major disaster. I mean, we've been through some tornado stuff and whatnot where the city has pulled together as a community and done some of that, but a health type pandemic that we're going through now, I don't know that there's any real solution other than I think the fact that we all need to sit down at the table and try to work out the best solution for this community so that we don't lose businesses and we don't lose other things that this community really needs. And I think the biggest thing is open communication and being able to work together to make a common goal.
All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before I let you go today, Don?
Just one thing, and I think that this is a very unique year as far as this fall, as far as when we go to elect people this fall. I think we're in a very, very unique situation that we're going to have some very large changes on our city council and our city government. And I think that the biggest thing is the voters. I would like them to make sure that they're doing their research and making sure that they are picking the best candidates that are going to keep their well-being and their issues in mind. I mean, we've got some people who have come out of the woodwork that have probably not served much on city government or in the community. But, you know, the biggest thing is we need to make sure that our civic leaders and our government leaders have the tools and are informed and have the taxpayers and the people of this community in the best interest of making those decisions as we move forward. And I wish all the candidates luck. It's going to come forward from this fall, but you know, ultimately it comes down to the voters, and the voters need to make sure that they're making those informed decisions based on the candidates and what they stand for.
All right, well, thank you so much, Don Hanenin, for Ward 5.